Meeting log?
Yes, it's been posted at the admin building in here, and it's been sent to the radio stations and the newspapers.
Okay, need approval of the agenda?
The subject, though, should be the agenda for today's meeting, not January 21.
Oh, is that what I've got?
It is online.
I apologize for that.
So it should be February 18.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, it is up there.
That was my fault.
I didn't either.
Did I?
Mine just got approval of the agenda.
I do read.
I might send my proofing to you, because I have people proofing, they didn't get to me. I'll start sending it to you, Mark.
So with that change, I will move to accept the agenda as printed.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion made in second to approve the agenda. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, November 19, 2025.
Any of you can remember what happened way back then, even me, so.
Make a motion to approve minutes.
Okay, I got a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion made second to approve all minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposing? Public comment slash communication.
And this will be coming off in future ones, but it was already on when I got the message, so. We don't have any, so.
Okay. Okay, advocacy reports or activities, upcoming events.
All right, I will just pass around the upcoming event handout. If you would like one, I'll be happy to give it to you. I know Kathy, once it goes around, if somebody doesn't take it. Just to let you know what's going on there. And then I did print out, we just got an update from GWAR yesterday on advocacy handout. So I will just pass this around as well. There are some things, the Speakers Task Force on Elder Services has created a report. They believe they released their final report in January, so that is out there with some information. What else is going on? It's the main thing that I saw. Advocacy Day of Action is May 6th. That is a virtual training and followed by an online campaign this year. It will not be in person like it always has been. So I will just pass those around if you are interested in it. There was something. See that one. So I think we did get, and I thought it was on that one, but maybe I didn't see it in there. I think our funding, we did get notice that some of our funding for Older Americans Act, because that hadn't been approved, but I think it may have just gotten approved. But we had some funding controls of only 2 months for nutrition, so that was concerning. Because we don't get that much money to begin with. If they're only going to guarantee 2 months, that's a little scary. So hopefully by next month, I'll know. So that's all I have on that. I'll just pass that around.
Hey, is that number 7?
Yep.
ADRC update, confidentiality, conflict interest, board presentation.
So what we've got, I just passed those around. So I'll pass these around too. I didn't print one of these out for you. I will be happy to give you one since most of you just signed it, not knowing what was maybe in it. Several of you have seen them before, but so again, the confidentiality policy just means all personal information that we take in is considered confidential. I just highlighted some of the things that we have. Staff may not disclose or acknowledge whether a person has received or is receiving services from the agency. Unless it has been established that the information can be legitimately shared, they do obtain releases of information, that sort of thing. But that also pertains to the board as well. So that's basically what you're signing on off on, is that anything that would come in here. Obviously, it's public meeting, so obviously we're not going to release too much confidential information at a public meeting, but I will pass that around and you have that sign them. The other thing is the conflict of interest, which just says agency representatives, employees, volunteers, Commission on Aging, and ADOC governing board members must be sensitive to their own personal potential for conflicts of interest and be vigilant about the existence of conflicts of interest elsewhere and take steps to limit, mitigate, or eliminate conflicts of interest that are discovered. If there is a potential conflict of interest, you would need to let myself and I would let Nate know, or let Nate know, and then we would determine whether that was a significant conflict of interest or not. So I'll pass this around, and I've got some sections highlighted in there too. Probably the main concern is if you sat on the board and had a conflict of interest, like you were a member or employed by, like, say, a family care agency, an MCO, something like that would be the factor there. So those are that. That's both of what you've signed off on. And if you would like a copy of those policies, I am happy to provide you with one. I just didn't want to waste paper if it was just going to get tossed. You all sit on a lot of boards, so you all know about confidentiality and conflict of interest. So then the board representation, part of the ADRC board requires that we go over that once a year as well. So I did, I didn't print out a full one. Again, if you want some of this, I will go through it a little bit. The board composition, the ADRC board composition must reflect the ethnic and economic diversity of the geographic area. One of the things that we do have to do is we have to have older people representatives. We have to have adults with a physical disability representative, an adult with an intellectual disability or a representative. And then, so essentially, I'm going to confidentially, if you know that you can represent a person with a physical disability, or you consider yourself to have a physical disability, and or the intellectual, if you would let me know that so that we can use that on here. I don't think moving forward, if we don't have anybody, they're going to make us, you know, change representation at this time just because we just made the switch. But that is something that we'll have to show moving forward. So, and it just means you could be a representative of somebody with a physical disability. Maybe you cared for somebody with one, or maybe you've got, you know, relative that you know that maybe deals with intellectual or disabilities or something. So it doesn't have to be like an art, you know, it doesn't have to be like in your household. It can be just your ability to represent. So if you know that, let me know, and then I'll make sure that I have that representation down.
And what if you don't?
If we don't, then I'll talk to the state. Probably once we have some turnover, then we'll look for specifically people with that representation. I don't think, you know, most of the time with the regional, when we would do it, we never really, it just usually there's, when you get a group of people, usually somebody can represent or, I mean, they're not going to come in and, you know, make you prove it or anything, but.
Well, I just remember.
Yes. So yes, if you have a caregiver or you have, you have different things. Ours is actually, so we're an because we're an integrated ADRC, we're an integrated board, which means we're a Commission on Aging board as well as the ADRC. So you have responsibilities for both of those. So again, just going through responsibilities of the ADRC board, mostly are to provide guidance and feedback on services, priorities, and future direction. Oversee the operations of the ADRC, including policies, procedures, contracts, and other agreements. Provide input on the budget, review spending. Identify, monitor, and recommend ways to avoid or mitigate potential conflicts of interest. Receive customer feedback. Gather information about and identify unmet needs of the ADRC's target populations. So a couple of those are things that we haven't done really as a local board. That was mostly done as a regional board. So we'll be looking at how to do that in the future. Identifying potential strategies and resources for building capacity to survey ERC customers, report any findings, recommendations to the ERC director, provide input, propose changes in the organizational structure, provide input on the hiring, and then analyze information regarding unmet needs. That's one that the board always, the regional board usually did as well. So just making you aware of that and letting you know how that works. And then I do have information on operational policies and procedures and that sort of thing. So if you'd like more information on it, again, I don't want to overload you. I did hint, did I send this out to you, key issues for governing boards? Or did I just put it in here? So I'll pass that around. I don't remember if I sent that out to you, so. Again, most of that stuff is stuff we already do, but again, I just want to make sure everybody's aware of it. And once a year, we need to go over that conflict of interest and just make sure that we're maintaining everything we need to do with the board. So are there any questions on that? Are there? So right now, I believe we're still our own committee. There have been, they have been making changes at the county level. So I don't know where this will all play out eventually, right? But for right now, we are an aging Commission on Aging and AERC board.
Okay. Number 8, nutrition program update. Expedited donation, bags, freezer, feeding table, new state donation, family care contract.
All right, good news and bad news. We got the Extine donation. We got the new freezer. It didn't want to go in very well, but Gary got it in. So thank you to the maintenance staff. It is installed and working in Boscobel, which we are very thankful for. We assembled, I believe, 200 emergency bags. So all of our nutrition participants got a bag with 2 shelf-stable meals in it. And a little bit actually more than that. There was some snacks in there too, because a 4-H group also provided some things. So that was a workout. it was an all staff effort and a few volunteer efforts, but we got it done and we got them delivered, and I was happy to see them go out the door. We still have a few left. We had a surplus, so we still have a few left that we'll identify which people might need a little extra.
How much was the Extine grant?
$20,000. We also got a new steam table. And we do have a little bit left over from that grant. So I have put in a request. I haven't heard back from them yet. We've got about, I think we've got about 4,000 something. I actually had that written down and I'm sorry to bring it in. We have a little bit left, and I put in a request to keep that if we can. I don't think that they'll say no to that, but technically you're supposed to let them know. We didn't have as much, surprisingly, it wasn't as expensive to have that freezer shipped as we thought it would be. So,
is there something else that's needed?
Yes. 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 We have a refrigerator. I don't have enough for it, so I'm hoping that maybe I can get a little more. We have a cooler in Platteville that's on its last leg. We've already had some issues with it, so, and I did let them know that. So I'm hoping that maybe we can do that, and then maybe it'll give more additional dollars to it. So yeah, it's. When they go, they go. They're very, they're very old and you can't get parts for any of these anymore. So, but maintenance was really nice. They helped out getting that freezer in for us and getting the old one out and taken care of because they're big and bulky.
These refrigerators, I had to get a new one. And we've had it for about 25 years. And when the new one came in, the guy said, how long have you had it? We said, oh, about 25 years. He says, well, you'll be lucky if you get 8 out of this.
That's scary. Yeah. It's Very true. At the time that I wrote the agenda, we had received word that there was a donation to the state for home-delivered meals. We didn't have any information on it. So we were quite excited about that, given the fact that we don't get a lot of funding for home delivered meals. Since that time, we are not as excited because we have listened to the webinar now on it, and the donation, it is a sizable donation, and they're not saying who it is, but they are kind of saying, because everybody in the state knows where it came from. So, but they're only using it for additional new home delivered meals, which it was brought up that it puts counties that already put significant amounts of tax levy into their program at a disadvantage versus counties who don't put any tax levy in or keep it very, very minimal. They could probably take on a few more, where we, you know, we try to serve as many as we can. So I'm not sure it's going to work for us unless they change it a little bit. So it's kind of, that was disappointing, because truly, you know, our budgets are going up, which just means more tax levy. And that's really not, it's really kind of an unfair advantage, I think. That's what we were told. So stay tuned. There was going to be some more information coming. They just sort of rolled it out to us so that directors and programs around the state could put in their concerns and their questions, and then they were going to go back and do something with that. So I haven't heard anything more out of that. But yeah, we weren't nearly as excited after we heard that. So it's kind of, and family care contracts, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump down to transportation and give you an update there. And then I'm going to talk about family care contracts as one contract, since we contract both for nutrition and transportation, because there's sort of some impacts there. So is that okay? Okay. So I'll flip down to transportation then.
Okay.
We do have, I intended to purchase a vehicle out of the trust fund last year, and then with the whole ADRC application process and everything we were doing, I did not do that. We still had, we really weren't at over the 100,000 mark on the van yet, and that's where we really needed to be. But we are now, and we do need to get a vehicle out of the trust fund, because we have way too much money in the trust fund. And I've been saying that for a long time, and eventually that's going to run out on me. So we do need to get a vehicle. The taxis lengths are not, those, they're just not the best length anyway. They retrofit them for that lift, and they always end up having air conditioner issues and line problems and all sorts of that. So we are looking at that. We do have enough money to purchase it out of the vehicle trust, and it is in our trust fund plan. We've got about 200,000 in the trust fund plan now, and we should have about 80. So the plan was to get one out last year and this year. So now my plan is to get one out soon, and we'll evaluate come probably October whether we need to do another one. We need to go through, we don't have to, but I usually do, we go through the state procurement. So the state identifies which people we deal with and the state pricing, and we just use their procurement policy. It's much easier. It's how I would do it if I was applying for the grant. So so we will need to go through that, and then we need to get approval for the vehicle from DOT before we can commit to it. So we are, I have looked at a couple vehicles before I get your approval. Or hopefully get your approval. The one would be similar to the taxi van now, which is just a wheelchair van side lift. It's an electronic lift, very similar. The other one is a transit van. So it's a little bit bigger. Iowa County just got one last year. I had looked at it a couple years ago, and then Iowa County purchased one, I think they got theirs last year, and I looked at theirs. And I don't know if theirs has the step and shift, but the one thing that I do really like about it, first of all, it's roomier. So like for someone like me, I can pretty much stand up in it. But the one nice thing about it is it has an additional add-on that I really think would be nice. So this add-on slides over and it's more like a bus entrance. So you've got your handrails and your steps, just like you'd be coming up a bus. So you've got a little bit more stability when you're coming up in there. The vans, I think, are a little bit more difficult to get in and out of when you're not in a wheelchair, when you're ambulatory and you don't want to use that lift. They're a little bit trickier to get, you know, you're kind of, for an elderly person, you got to be a little flexible to get in there. So Iowa County really likes, I had talked to Tom Slaney, the former director, last year. He really liked the transit van. It holds a few more people, so that's ideal as well, since we are a shared ride taxi. He could get a couple more people, and I think you can comfortably get like two wheelchairs in there. I don't know that we would put two in our current one. I mean, you might be able to squeeze them in there, but it wouldn't be very comfortable. So we would look at that. There, obviously, it is more money. I think the pricing on that is, I want to say, probably right around $95,000, $98,000. So your thoughts, I mean, all of this, like I said, the DOT is going to be asking me about my trust fund plan. So, well, actually, I've already had the conversation. So I told them that why I didn't purchase it. We actually intended to maybe look at it in December, and then with the meetings, I knew we weren't going to do it. So,
well, I think if it's easier to get in, that's a big plus.
The only thing that I'm a little concerned about, and John would like to look at our taxi driver, is it's a little bit longer. So I think it's 2.5 feet longer than our wheelchair van, which probably isn't a problem anywhere, but maybe the Lancaster Square and things like that makes it a little bit more of an issue for him to get in and out of. But I mean, there's delivery vans all over the place that are that long.
So this one's specifically designed for this versus the other ones being retrofitted?
Yeah, basically. The other ones are always, I mean, they sell them that way, but they do have to retrofit them. And we have trouble with the air conditioning lines in them almost every time by the end of life.
But that's the problem. The van that we have right now is a downsized van. So it's like my previous history. Making skid steers, you're cramming everything
into that, yeah.
So that extra 2.5 feet will prolong the life and everything else.
Yeah. And they sit up a little higher, which I think is better, because again, with those vans, how they we always end up with cracks in that mold, that fiberglass molding on the bottom where they kind of cover up that stuff.
Yeah.
And then every year it freezes and cracks, and it's just.
But again, if it's got more of a bus entry, so you got better grip, I think that's better. So.
Mm-hmm. I can get some quotes. Obviously, I have to get DOT approval, actually, before I need your approval, before I'm anything. I have to have theirs, but I can bring you back with a quote next month if you want, and then we can move forward from there if you want to do it. Yes. Like that way.
That'd
okay. I'll have an official quote. I don't have anything. I just was kind of looking at them. So, but I really liked, as you know, I just find getting into those minivans really a little bit more difficult. And I really like that step thing, because it's just sort of like you can get a much better grip. It's just going up. It's very similar to the bus rail, and it just slides over and then you can go up. So, okay. Well, we will move forward and I'll bring that back next month then.
Okay, then.
So with the family care contracts, I got an email from another transportation provider similar to us last week that said, is the impact of Inclusa going with MTM going to hurt you? And I said, I have not been aware that Inclusa was not contracting transportation with us. And she said, well, we heard it through the grapevine, and we just got a certified letter that says they are. And I said, well, I have not received a certified letter. So then another county weighed in and said, we just got the letter. I still haven't gotten the letter, but I've got it by email now, because then I reached out to them. to find out. And we still, the letters apparently, our letter is apparently in the system somewhere. But it does say they, as of March 31st, they will be discontinuing the transportation contracts and going with MTM. So one of the things we've been dealing with, and now it makes a little more sense. So since about October, I was trying to get a contract with Inclusa Sign for meals and transportation. And I wasn't getting any responses and I wasn't getting much satisfaction. And I had sent them the new updates and then they were just delaying and delaying and delaying. And I'm like, I'm going to say, we're not going to do this if you don't give me some indication that you're going to accept these new rates. Because if you don't accept the new rates, we're not going to continue to provide rates after January 1st at that old rate. We, you know, and they're like, they're just waiting on transportation. They just wanted to see what the IRS rate came in. And I'm like, well, I think we could guess what the IRS rate is enough to get, you know. So they delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed. And then finally the IRS rate came in and we had that conversation and it went with 72 and a half cents. And then I finally got a contract sent to me and it had all the old rates on it. And this happens all the time. About every year I get the old contract back. So I obviously did not sign that. And I called or I emailed the provider relations person and said, I've got an old contract with old rates. And then I got two more contracts with old rates. And then finally, I said, are you going to pay us these new rates? Otherwise, we're going to terminate. And she's like, no, I'll assure you that this will get passed. And now this has come about. So I don't know if this was part of the delay or what, but so I haven't seen the official letter, but what I have seen is they want to end March 31st. However, if something goes wrong, they expect us to intend to stay on as a provider after March 31st to provide them the services that they no longer want. And we have a 60-day termination. So they didn't give me a 60-day termination because I literally just got the notice last week. So we did not get 60 days on this. But there's two things at play here. So do we want to give a 60-day termination? It'll still go past March 31st, but I don't feel as compelled to stay on in case they can't get it all together with MTM for any length of time. We're going to get a lot of phone calls on this because we're going to have a lot of riders who are going to be very upset by this change because many people have dealt with the other system over the years. It's been MTM has been the Medicaid transportation provider. And there's been issues where people have gotten left or not picked up. I do expect that people are going to be upset. We have some very, you know, particular people who are used to riding with us and are no longer going to be able to do that. So I really do feel bad about that because there isn't anything we can do about that if they don't want to contract with us. They did say we could contract with MTM. A couple of the providers did look into that. There's all sorts of requirements. MTM would want you to travel throughout the state. They don't pay for the first 5 miles. They don't, if you show up for an appointment, and the appointment cancels and you can't provide proof that they weren't there, they might not pay you for that time. That's just not things that we're going to be wanting to do. So along with that, we have had, you know, we've been talking about the meal contracts for a long time too. They have come, we have almost zero, I wouldn't say zero, but we have very little meal contracts anymore with Inclusa. The only one we actually contract with is Inclusa. So, I guess now's the time to maybe decide whether you want to continue with meal contracts or if we want to continue.
What's your recommendation?
Well, I'll tell you what Courtney's recommendation is. Courtney's recommendation would be that we end them, that there just seems we, you know, we, I did put in a cost of living in the increase this year because it we never make money on meal contracts. If anything, we fall, we only fall, you know, even. And those meal contracts, the way the state wants us to do them, they're always based on last year's meal costs. So, you know, they're not correct. So if anything, we barely break even. But they do take up additional volunteer time. So the downside is we're really nice people and we don't like to see people go without meals, and we know that they're not going to get the greatest meals out of family care. Now, I will say, I would encourage you very much to contact your legislators and tell them to hold family care agencies to the same standards that we have to supply meals, because they don't. They don't have to meet those nutritional standards. And I think they should. But that's just me. So I think now would be the time. Now, this goes back to one other issue we had. My Choice came to us and said, are you going to renew a contract? And I said, I don't have a contract with you. We haven't had a contract with you for several years. We did it once. They didn't like our prices and we stopped contracting, but they still contract with us once in a while. And they've said it's out of network and whatever. I don't care. I don't have a signed contract. They said, well, we do have a contract with you. And she sends me some spreadsheet that shows health department and us and somebody else. I said, well, that's not a contract. That's just a spreadsheet. So I said, send me the contract with my signature on it. And she sent me an addendum from 2022 that was not signed. So, well, this too is not a signed contract, in my opinion. And then she said, well, this says if it's unsigned, the contract continues on. So then I sent her an email from the provider relations person at that time that says, if you don't sign this contract, we are assuming you no longer want a contract with My Choice. And we didn't, because they wouldn't honor our new prices. So I sent that back, but I also said, after discussion with court counsel, and I called Ben and said, here's what I'm sending them, and I'm pulling you into it, because then they had said, when I said we don't, they came back and said, well, you need to terminate, you need to go through our termination process, and then we'll, and I said, I'm not going through your termination process. So then I called Ben, and I just said, I'm not going to go through the termination process, because that'll imply that I had a contract. And we don't. So he agreed. And so then I pulled his name into it on the response. And I haven't heard back from them. So another county, a new director at another county called me last week and said, can I talk to you about family care contracts? And I said, sure. And she's like, I can't get a hold of anybody. They're not returning my calls. I just wondered what your experience is. And I said, same as yours. I said, whatever. She's like, I think I'm doing something wrong. I said, no, you're absolutely not. This is exactly, I said, I've gotten three contracts with the wrong amounts in them. So I'm very frustrated. Realize this is a public meeting, but I, you know, this is what we've had for a long time. This is just, it's just like pulling teeth to get the right things. So we will stay on in the interim because we still have a contract and I have to give 60 days notice if we're going to stop. So that's the one thing I want to ask you. And then I want to ask you if you want to make meals a part of that. When I responded and said, so I got the new one with the right rates, but the 72 and a half is at 72 cents for our volunteer drivers. And I said, well, that's the IRS rate is supposed to be 72 and a half. And she responded, well, we don't do half cents and we don't round up. So who are these people?
So my question is, what state agency is supposed to hold family care accountable?
That's a good question. Kind of the same one that oversees us. It's all the long-term care. So it would, I don't know the name of the
Is it health bureau. Services or is it?
It's under DHS. It's all under DHS, I believe. But see, here's the difference now, too. These Inclusa has been bought out by Humana. So it's a big insurance company now. My Choice has been bought out by Molina. It's a big insurance
company. Another big insurance company.
So my response to her was, you know, it's, well, then we'll bump it up to 73 cents because I'm not going to have the county subsidize an insurance company. I mean, that's just the response. It's just, it's so frustrating. It's like, come on. And the thing is they're getting a very good deal with our volunteer drivers at even 73 cents a mile. Where are you going to find a deal like that? So the transportation is, obviously that's a done deal on their part because they're providing us that notification. However, I do think we should respond with a termination of service as well so that we don't, like, what if they don't get it together until June or July, or do we want to keep providing? I guess that's up to you.
Terminate.
I mean, I don't care. We've already got it set up. We'll do it.
I would terminate. They can't get it together. I feel bad for the people that are going to be left out. But
I am very worried about that. I am very worried about that. I think MTM will start doing an aggressive campaign to try to entice our drivers. But our drivers have already, they're very aware of them and could drive for them now. I mean, we have many drivers that drive for more than just us. They drive for Southwest Cab, and, you know. I just think, I know we're going to get phone call after phone call. Unfortunately, they have a tendency to call us versus their care managers. And we're going to have people, and I'm very worried because we get to know these people pretty closely, and we know some of them are really going to struggle with that. And I'm afraid they're going to get left somewhere, to be honest with you. I'm afraid that they won't get picked up. They won't. You know, when our volunteer driver takes somebody to a clinic or a hospital in Madison, you know, they might drive away, but they're there pretty much. So when that person walks out, they're there for them. I'm worried about that with MTM. I don't know that that will be the case. So I have no problem if you want to extend it. It's probably me being just a little bit, you know, spiteful to say no. It's just this back and forth. And then I think it's the time to determine whether they're the meals, because they get, you know, they get a large sum of money to provide services to people that include transportation and meals. I think it should be adequate. I think it should meet nutritious guidelines. I don't know why they're not held to that standard now. But we are seeing, you know, our county puts in a great deal of levy into our nutrition program, because our home delivery program, by transferring some monies this year, I got like maybe $85,000 in the budget, but you're going to see, I mean, you know what that budget is. It's a lot, you know, that's just a drop in the bucket. So if you want to stay with the meals, I have no problem with it. We'll just terminate the transportation contract if you want, and we'll leave the meal price since they are accepting that new price that I put in there. And I think that's a 1773 or something like that, very close to that. Concerns, questions?
I'll make a motion.
It's not a win-win for certain.
Keep the meals, but and the transportation.
Keep the meals.
Yeah, but and the transportation.
But and transportation.
Okay, second on that. Okay, motion made and second. Kathy?
Who did the first?
Valerie.
Thank you.
All in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Approval of vouchers.
Thank you. Any questions? Did you see anything on vouchers that came up that you were? Go back to January once. I'll try to remember. Oh.
I didn't see anything. Now we'll move to approve.
Motion made and second to approve the vouchers. All in favor, say aye.
I can't hear very well. Lester, did you second that?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Program director's report.
Oh, financial report. Oh, let's financial. Go there.
I missed that one.
Let's just skip that.
Yeah. Financial.
All right. Well, you've got your January ones. There shouldn't be too much questions on that, although we do have, if you look at those, we do have some revenue that's still in the 26th. We had a three-hour meeting with finance on Friday. Never dreamed it would be that long, but it was. We had a lot to discuss and a lot to figure out. So they were really, really good. So I was really happy. And so they're making some adjustments for us. So they'll get that revenue out, and they're making some other adjustments on our line items and just different things that we really wanted to see happen. So, and they're actually making it happen as we speak, because I got some last night I saw from Angie. So happy about that. But there is still some revenue in there. So just take that with a grain of salt. I intended to have a 25 just update for you. But our computers decided to go down this morning, so I didn't have access to VDI. I actually got into VDI and had the report ready to go, and then it froze on me, and I couldn't get it to print. So, but we are sitting pretty good in terms of everything. Once we move that revenue back to 26, I'll kind of go through. We're good with support services. We're coming in under budget or right at about that budget. Congregate, once we move some back, we will also be just under budget on that. Home delivered, we will be under budget. I'm going on memory here now. So public awareness, which is really health promotion. I'm just happy that we got some spent in that, because that's always our trouble spot for trying to get the evidence base. We just don't have Mary Lou doing all those workshops for us like we used to in the past. So. Ben Spec, we're coming in just fine on. We'll be just right there. Boss, we are like right on track there. Specialized, we are actually way under budget. We just didn't have the calls this year for event staff. We have one that does a lot of transportation with us, and they were not using us as much just because of illness, I think, and different things. So that's why that is down. So that's something that we'll take a look at. Taxi is good as well. And this is all 25 I'm talking about for now. I'm just kind of giving you. Trips will be good. We'll make some adjustments in revenue, and we'll come in good there too. And then we were a little under budget for family care and Alzheimer's. We thought we would be spent out on Alzheimer's, and then that's a tricky one, because usually those people are in need of care, and sometimes then right at the end they don't end up spending it all because something happened. So, and then ADRC, we came in under budget too, because we have a really good time recorder. So I think overall we're about, don't quote me on this, but I think we had a savings about $239,000 maybe under, but don't quote me on that. it's been a kind of a crazy morning, and so I could be wrong on that. Part of it was we didn't have as much family care meals. We had budgeted more for that. And we had some health insurance that I had budgeted for that we didn't end up needing, so that always saves some additional dollars. So I think we will come out good. I will have that for you next month. I intended to have it for you today, but I don't know what's going on with our VDI. Hopefully it's fixed. Otherwise, I'm going to have some really restless employees when I get back to my office. They were already restless this morning. And we spend an awful lot of time on the computer, so we got to have it. I think we'll be fine there. And then as far as January, I don't think we've had anything too outstanding. they're changing some line items, adding some line items, adding some revenue. We were missing some quite a few revenue accounts that we needed to have. We thought we were missing some line items, but we didn't know. We just couldn't see them. So that was good to know. But we had a really productive meeting with Courtney, and I both met with Angie and Cody, and it went really, really well. So they're fixing some stuff for us. It'll make it easier for us to get things in the right line items, because that's going to be really important moving forward for those of you who aren't board supervisors. We'll have to do a budget transfer if we've got something that doesn't have money in it. So we need to make sure. And I've already experienced that, because apparently we decided to start sending out bus schedules, something I didn't know about, and I didn't have postage in bus. So like, okay, let's find a different way to do that. it's one of those things. It's all done with good customer service, but we'll find a way to fund it. But part of some of the issues sometimes is just, you know, when you're, especially in congregate and home delivered, we've got some categories, or many categories, and even when I'm filling in for somebody, it's like, I don't know if that's a meal site supply, or if that's a paper supply, or if that's an operating supply. So moving into 2027, we're going to tighten those up too. So we'll get rid of some of those categories, but because we've already got money in them, they have to show up on here. So they just said moving forward in 2027, we'll figure out which ones can be taken off. So it'll be a little bit cleaner next year. But it's helpful to know. And it was really kind of interesting to learn that I didn't know how some of the accounts are reported to the state, because that's not a side of it I see from finance. So when they're saying, well, this is categorized as this, because we had a long talk about our congregate fees for service. We don't like that, saying that, because we don't charge a fee. It's a suggested donation. Well, then it came up that sometimes they report them, the ones that are fees. So that wasn't good. So we will have that taken care of and changed. And so it was an interesting meeting. Any questions on the finance? I didn't really go over anything in January, but I, like I said, I'm happy to explain something if you see something out of line. Let me know.
We need a motion?
Yep.
I make a motion to accept.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to approve the financial report. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, reports. A director's report.
Okay. Well, with all the good news coming at the beginning of the year, we have more. We got a decrease in our Title III funding of about $37,000. $24,000 of it's in nutrition. Because, of course, it would be. That's our biggest pot of money. I don't think we even have it officially. That's the problem that we have sometimes with our budgets, is we do a budget in the summer and in the fall without our 26 allocation numbers. We are just now getting the 26 allocation numbers, and we're in mid-February. And we don't even have officially, I don't think so. Because I haven't seen a contract. So that is a problem sometimes for us, but it is what it is. So, yes, we'll see that decrease. I wasn't very happy about it, but not much we can do. The decrease in this one wasn't because of the feds. It was because of the way that they're figuring the formulas. And they did a flat funding at it last year, so it wouldn't affect people. Well, we were clearly in the, it will affect us, and it's probably just because of our size, I'm thinking. I don't know. Crawford actually got some additional money in their family caregiver, which surprised me, because it's not a lot of money, and they're almost up to us, and they're a lot smaller, you know. So it's kind of weird how they did it. I don't know how the formula was figured, but they did say it was affecting certain counties, and we were clearly one of them. So I wasn't I wasn't very happy about that. So we're going to start out with a little bit of deficit in revenue in congregate right away. Most of it was in congregate, actually. Let me see, what else do I have that wasn't maybe on there? We have met with Iowa County for the dementia care specialist, so I think we're good there. The state's going to throw a little wrench into that. Starting July, right now we have a time reporting system where staff just record on a Excel spreadsheet. They have a workbook that they record their time in those that time report record every 15 minutes. That's going to go away, and they're going to be reporting that all in peer place. As if you've heard me in the last couple of years, you knew I was worried about that because our time reporting is good and we get a lot better funding for ADRC with our time reporting good. But I have heard good things about it, that it's working pretty well. What it's going to probably happen for a couple of months, though, is they're going to have to double time report. They're going to have to do it on peer place and track it on the workbooks. And I don't like it, but we need to make sure that they're doing it correctly and can reconcile it, because it could be a loss of a great deal of money. So they'll have to do that for at least probably 2 months. Once we go to that system as well, Haley, our dementia care specialist, is going to have to probably time report out of those two systems. And I don't even think the state's figured this out yet. So they think they have a system to figure it out, but I think that's going to be interesting at best. So I'm hoping that we can maybe figure out something better, but we'll see. But we had a good conversation with Iowa County. So Haley's working 2 days in Iowa County and 2 days here. And then she's got one work from home day, possibly, or it'll be there or here, depending on. Oftentimes she's got an event a week, so it depends on where that event is. And we'll split that down the middle. So essentially, we each have 2.5 days kind of dedicated to the county. We were trying to get that just to work out the time factor, since they're half and half. And then as far as referrals go, you know, it's going to be what she gets. So we can't really do much with that. So I did a lot of state training for the fiscal, for the ADRC grant, since that is all new reporting for us in a new system that we have never used. I got them both submitted. So fingers crossed, I knew what I was doing. I hope so, but we've got till June to reconcile anything. So if I did it wrong, no, I think we did it okay. But it is new to me, so I'm trying to make sure that we did have a meeting with the state at our program quality specialist to discuss the fiscal and reporting and how to do it. And then I had to go back and look through a bunch more training because I didn't get much out of that, to be honest with you. So it's a little disappointing. But I think we have it figured out. What else? Provider contracts we've talked about. We've got taxes that started. We've got lots of people coming in on Tuesday mornings here getting their taxes done. We're attending network meetings for finance, which is good. We had a meeting that went very well. We learned some stuff out of that one too. So it's been nice. I think we're getting much more information about finance things, and that will be helpful moving forward. So any other questions?
Just have a question. Yeah. How much time is spent on tracking?
Well, a lot.
All this that you have to track.
It's meeting after meeting after tracking after, it's a lot. I mean, we have 3 ADRC specialists, the dementia care specialist, the elder benefit specialist, and the disability benefit specialist. They all have to time report. All of all of those people time report every 15 minutes. And then that has to be reconciled. The state actually does compare that to their notes in peer place. So that's something, and that's not even a report I know how to run yet because they haven't shown me how to do that yet. So I'm relying on our program specialists. But so those have to match up. If they don't match up, the state's looking at that. And that's extremely important that, and they have to report in different categories. So that 15 minutes is not like you're just saying, here's my 15 minutes, here's what I did. It's here's my 15 minutes, and here's the category I got to put it in because I might have been doing an MA-related application, so it's MA. But if I was doing a long-term functional screen, that's a different pot of money, and it's more. So we got to make sure that's in the right area. But if it's maybe they're in a staff meeting, then it's over here. So it's not even that, but there's like eight or nine categories they got to report in for that. And then at the end of the month, I have to fold those into a big word book and come up with the percentages to then determine how we get that MA back. So it's, yeah. And they do it very, very well. We just met with our program quality specialist yesterday. And she'd been all through Peer Place because Peer Place is still pretty new for people. It's still a work in progress, but she had said our staff have a gold star on it. So that's really good. So I was happy to hear that. So they're doing well, but yes. And then all the aging staff have to report in there too, except for transportation. That's the only one that we don't report in there. But she has her own tracking because we have to track and bill all that. So it's, yes, there's lots of tracking, lots of reporting, lots of everything. Lots of making sure that we are, you know, up to the standards that we have to have. The thing that it's one of those, you know, you don't always know what you don't know. So a lot of that was regional at the time when, you know, we were all together. So now that's fallen back on our shoulders. So at some point, I think in the future, if the time reporting holds out this year, we may have the additional enough monies to hire somebody so that doesn't fall all on like Courtney and I. But right now it pretty much does because we don't have anybody else with that can do it. So I'm hoping that our time reporting holds, but I didn't have a lot of confidence coming into this year with a new database and a new time reporting system happening that I could count on having like 48% MA funding coming in versus say 40%. So I wasn't confident to write in any more staff time because what if we didn't get it? So that's going to be the thing moving forward is I truly think in the future that will be something that you probably need to look at. But Cordy and I hold our own, but we also know our systems. The one good thing I will say about it is because we are so hands-on, we know our budgets really well for the most part. Except I didn't know there was a, except I didn't know we were third in postage to us. But, so I guess I can't say I know it absolutely well. And why do we have so much postage for bus? Oh, people wanted the transportation schedule so we can send them out. I'm like, oh, isn't that nice? And it is nice.
It's good customer service. That, yeah.
It's good customer service. Yeah, I didn't know that. It's a good idea. I just didn't know why we have so much bus postage. So yeah, it is a lot. It is a lot. And then we have to run, I'll tell you, I don't do it as often as I should. I should be running monthly reports for all the aging things because we're supposed to be running that and looking for errors. And I probably do that about every other month. I should be doing it every month, but sometimes time just runs out. So it's a lot of looking at numbers. And it's a lot of tracking. And we don't even have some of the tracking that we have. They used to do encounter tracking and so, but I mean, as you'll see, if you look at the program report, there's all those stats there. So, but I think things are going well. I mean, I have a really good crew that's very, very attentive to that and they time report well. And I think, in fact, I laugh because Stephanie said yesterday, she doesn't have to time report anymore because she's our ADRC coordinator. She still takes on some cases, but we don't have her time report because she doesn't take on enough volume, so it's not worth it for us to time report her. It could actually bring our numbers down a little bit, but she still time reports because she wants to make sure that she's right in the system. So she's still been time reporting, even though she doesn't need to, just for her own sake, because it kind of keeps her on track and helps her, you know, because they're just so used to doing it. So I didn't even know she was doing that. She's like, yeah, it's just doing it. It's just, you know, I've always done it. I'm just in the swing of it, and it helps me focus on what exactly I'm doing with people. So they do a good job. And I'm sure there's going to be a few more things that crop up that we didn't realize how much the regional office was doing sometimes, but we'll figure it out. The one nice thing that I will say is we've got, when I first came on board here, we had Diana as a program quality specialist. She's been with the state for really, I don't even know how long, but a long time. And she's very good. And she's very, like, if you need something, she'll find it for you. And so she took, our other program specialist just retired. So Diana's taken us on as an interim. So I told her we're new, so she has to keep us and get rid of somebody else. She does a really good job of getting what we need. So I really like her. So, yeah. It's crazy. So on the 25 program report, I didn't do a 26 one yet because they were still getting those numbers in. The 25 one, in a lot of them, I just took out and did an end of year one. So that's why it looks that way. So as you can see, ADRC specialists, unduplicated clients have been over 3,000. That's high. We're still very busy. I think we slowed down slightly maybe this last year, but still pretty busy compared to, I would say, other counties around us. So in our EBS, if you look at, you know, she's one person and she's doing as many as she can. And her numbers probably in EBS are probably not all in, because I believe she has till the end of this month or maybe middle of next month to get all of her open enrollment, you know, Part D cases in. So that might go up a little yet. So any questions on any of that? One neat thing that I found out about the Wayne Theater in basketball, Gary, I don't know if you saw it, if you've been by the marquee, but they did a little thing. They gave us credit for it, which I thought was nice. We didn't really do anything. We didn't provide any money. They did a matinee in kind of connection with our lunch. So we do lunch there at about noon. And I think they started the matinee like at 1, and they charge $4 for the movie and popcorn and a drink, I believe. And I think we got, because of it, I think we got like 6 or 8 additional people that came for lunch that day. And then several of them, they had 60 people. They aimed, that's pretty much aimed at older individuals, and they had 60 people come to that matinee. So I thought that was, but they had ADRC and Blaine Theater present, which we didn't do anything, but we'll take the credit. But that was really nice. So they got lunch for, you know, you could get lunch for a suggested donation of $5, and you could have lunch in a movie for under $10. That's a pretty big deal. Can't find that anywhere. So yeah, I thought that was really nice, and they're going to offer it a couple more times. So, and they had, and the movie was Song Sung Blue, which was just a new release.
Yes, that
was
so
good.
And then they came over and they asked the meal site participants to suggest some other movies that they might want to see for a matinee. So they allowed them to do that. So I thought that was really cool.
Very nice.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a heck of a deal for people. So that's all I have.
Okay.
I make a motion to adjourn.
All in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can remember doing that.
Lori, in the future, if you have a need for extra hands, like to fill those